Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We are joined today by Leah Huber, the founder and CEO of Nourish Evolution and the author of the new memoir, Nourished, a memoir of food, faith, and enduring love with recipes. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Kara. I'm really excited.
Before we get started, a quick word from our podcast sponsor. Whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands. From Saigon cinnamon and dillweed to bay leaves, garlic powder, cumin, and turmeric, Spice Islands maintains a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. And they use a craft approach to capture the volatile oil of each spice, which gives it its flavor. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes. And pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers.
I love this book because it really talks about so many of the reasons why I was drawn to food media and working in food writing, and the many ways that food really matters to us as people individually, as communities, and as a way to sort of solve and explore all these many things about ourselves. Can you talk a little bit about how you came to food as being such a central theme in your life and how this book kind of sums up that journey?
Absolutely. Food is such, it's one of those things that we obviously have to return to again and again and again, you know, day after day, multiple times a day. And so I think because of that, food can become a vehicle for us to kind of act out and muddle through our struggles with ourselves, muddle through our struggles with the world and kind of figure out the world and ultimately become a connection point, for ourselves to the, you know, to the earth, and to our deeper self and also to one another when we're sharing around the table. So there's so much power in food. And, I discovered that in my own life, and then obviously that then turned into the story of that I tell in Nourished. But I think that it's a common theme that that anybody can really live through. And the more kind of deliberate and aware we become about food and the impact that it has on our bodies, on our well-being, on our psyche, on the way that we interact with the world and on the environment, you know, and the world around us, the more food becomes that connection point.
This is a curiosity that has taken you all over the world, and the book really, in part, is an adventure story. You yeah. go everywhere from Greece to Costa Rica to France to sort of learn a little bit about why people eat the way that they do and sort of find the way of eating that will work for you. Can you talk about that journey and just sort of what it was like to eat in different ways in different places and sort of think outside of the American imagination of what food means?
Absolutely. It was such an education for me, but it was sort of an unintended education. Before I discovered my love for food, I had a love for travel. And I really just kind of crave that feeling of being in someplace new and discovering new lands, both physically, you know, new cultures and new places, but also what it does to us, you know, that it opens up new places in us. And what happened was gradually food became the connection point for me. I keep using that term connection point, but it is the connection point for me when we were traveling. Is I found that where I was connecting with people was at the markets and at, you know, the pasta shops and at the little local restaurants where we'd be knee to knee with people. It was around food that people came together and that I was able to fit in. And so I sort of unintentionally started learning about how people eat in different places and in different cultures. And in Greece, I actually lived with a family and so was able to really get an insider's view on how they eat there. And in other places that I've lived, in France as well, I was able to sort of be part of the everyday life. And then when Christopher and I, my husband and I, pulled up stakes here in America and drove down to Costa Rica and lived in Costa Rica, spending several weeks on the road through Mexico, again, we were able to connect with people and really kind of become part of the day-to-day life in those markets and around those tables. And it was really remarkable to me to see that really so many people around the world eat very, very well. But by very well, what I mean is you know, the foods that you tend to focus on, the simple, nourishing, real foods, foods that, you know, come from a garden, you know, or from your neighbor's backyard. And those were the foods that really started to shape my own appreciation for what I wanted food to be in my life, and started to shape how I ate, but also how I lived because of these foods that I was bringing into my life. You know, they brought me a sense of belonging. They definitely helped me heal my body. And they just sort of made me feel like I had found home.
Before we continue, a quick word from Spice Islands. When you're cooking meals for the family this holiday season, be sure to opt for premium spices from Spice Islands. By sun-drying many of their spices and de-stemming their chili peppers by hand, Spice Islands uses a craft approach to deliver the most authentic and intense flavor possible. They maintain a strict standard for each item to ensure consistency, quality, and flavor. And they take extra steps to ensure the richness of their flavors, like cryogenically freezing their cumin to preserve its oils, or milling their garlic to a true powder so it doesn't add grittiness to your dishes. So whether you're looking for flavor adventure or simply better tasting meals, fill your pantry with Spice Islands and taste the difference in every bottle. Visit spiceislands.com/clever for more spice facts and delicious recipes, including one for spiced maple carrots, a quick and simple side to complement any meal. That's spiceislands.com/clever and pick up Spice Island spices in the premium spice section of your local retailers.
I want to talk a bit about food writing because I think it's something that's so difficult to do and so difficult to do well, like travel writing too, really, because they're both situations where you're trying to convey a very sensory and sensual experience to someone and sort of transport them to another time and place. Can you talk a little bit about that and sort of some of the challenges and some of the triumphs in writing about this experience?
Absolutely. I actually think it's so much fun to be able to be in that position where you're trying to find exactly the words and exactly the phrases to essentially paint a picture in your readers' minds. You know, we're using words to paint pictures, really. And it's interesting because, again, there's that parallel between travel and food and travel writing and food writing. They're very similar where you're really, if you're in a place and you're trying to paint a picture of what it's like in this remote Greek village on top of a mountaintop, there's that painting that picture of that. Or if you're trying to paint a picture of what it's like to eat a roast chicken, you know, there's those words. And both of them go beyond just the visual, obviously. They go into deeper places. And I think that that's something that's so interesting about food writing is that when I'm writing about a roast chicken, for instance, I'm not just writing about what it tastes like or even what it smells like or even what it looks like. I also want to capture how it makes me feel, you know, that incredibly comfy, homey feeling that roast chicken brings to me. You know, two weeks ago, we had these devastating fires up here near us. And my husband and I were, and my daughter, were volunteering at the local shelter, and we were just fried. And I said to my husband, you know, what can I make you for dinner tonight? What do you want? And he goes, I just want you to roast chicken, you know? And it's that feeling of like intense comfort and just welcome home. And that's the kind of thing that I love about food writing is being able to capture beyond the five senses into that something deeper.
You're not just a food writer who's written and developed recipes for all kinds of publications from Better Homes and Gardens to Eating Well, but you're also the founder and CEO of a company.
Yes.
You're also an entrepreneur. You've started a subscription-based food community and online menu planner called Nourish Evolution. How do you fit all these parts of your life together, and what kind of skills does it take to be an entrepreneur in the food world, as differentiated from a food writer, as differentiated from a cook?
Very good question. It's, you know, it's interesting. It kind of brings everything together. The reason I started Nourish Evolution is because I felt like I had gone through my journey and it had had such a profound impact on my life that I wanted to be able to provide other people with not just inspiration, but also tangible tools that they could use to take these steps towards weaning off of processed food and bringing real food into their lives and having these profound, you know, profound changes that I did. So I, you know, I took everything that I had from my experience of being a food writer and a recipe developer for decades and then brought it into an entrepreneurial setting where I was able to be more nimble to serve the specific needs that I was seeing out there. And, you know, one of the needs that I see over and over and over and over and over again is people are just, they're busy, you know? I mean, busy is the word that I hear dozens of times a day. And so even though people may know what they want to eat, they don't know how to make that fit into their lives. And so we've developed a couple of programs. One is called the Nourish 10-Day Reset, and that's a video-based 10-day course that really helps give people the skill sets and get them in the right mindset for making that shift from processed food to real food. And then we have our online meal planning program called Cook the Seasons, and that really puts seasonal vegetables at the center of the plate. And we use a method that we call Nourish 1-2-3, where we start with a vegetable and then cook simple core recipes from them. So simple recipes to mix and match for a first meal. And then we strategically reinvent those leftovers into new meals throughout the week. So it makes cooking with real food possible for really busy people. We continue to kind of hone in and try and develop tools to help people in real life.
Leah, thank you so much for talking with us today. All of the work you're doing in real food is so exciting and so inspiring. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Check out the book Nourished, a memoir of food, faith, and enduring love with recipes. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking.